Bibles with me to Luke chapter 24, verse 13, a well-known passage that we have read together sometimes in our worship meeting. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Just recently I started reading a book entitled Christ in All the Scriptures. I remember I suppose I was 14 or 15 or thereabouts. I remember going along to a church meeting with my parents, and it was fairly much church going in those days, and we had a special visitor at church, and he gave a message that I suppose would be similar to what we used to. He took this verse, or not this verse, but the verse later on, where the disciple said, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? And he talked about how, as we get to know the Lord Jesus, our hearts burn within us. And I remember travelling home, my dad used to do a bit of lay preaching, and I remember us having roast speaker that day. It didn't often happen in our family, I must admit, but I remember Dad wasn't very impressed. He thought this man wasn't deep enough, because all he did was expound this one verse. But I've never forgotten the message. I've forgotten some of the wonderful ones that my dad preached. I remember quite a few. But I've never forgotten this man talking about the fact of how we can know the Lord Jesus personally and our hearts can burn within us as he teaches us the things of himself. Some years ago when I first came into fellowship, we had a speaker, and I remember him sharing about Christ, and afterwards he said to me, some people complain that I don't exhort people enough and give practical ministry. But he said, I think the teaching about the Lord Jesus is practical. Well, he didn't need to justify himself to me. I just lapped up everything that he shared. And later he gave me a book entitled Christ Incomparable. Now, that man has now gone to be with the Lord, but that book that he gave me has been a great blessing to me. Christ in all the scriptures. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, the Lord Jesus, speaking concerning the scriptures, said, They are they which testify of me. And I know over the years I have failed many times in sharing with other people, in exhorting them and doing various things. And I find that it's easy to talk about Christianity and to talk about the things we're doing, but it's not so easy to talk about Christ. And I think the reason is that although we talk about knowing him, we don't spend enough time, and now I'm pointing the finger, getting to know him. And so may it be this morning that we might see something of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. In the Old Testament Scriptures, we read of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world's redemption was to be accomplished through Him, through the promised Messiah. And in Genesis 3 and 15, we read that He was to bruise the serpent's head. As we go through the book of Genesis, we read many things that point us to Christ. I think of the life of Joseph, one who was totally committed to the will of the Father, and how we have a type of the Lord Jesus in Joseph. We come to the story of Abraham and Isaac, and how that Isaac was offered up as a sacrifice, the beloved son, and we have a picture of our wonderful Saviour. And we continue through the book of Genesis and Exodus, and we have the story of the children of Israel, God's people, coming out of the land of Egypt where they were in bondage. And so many pictures there of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw a great light shining upon a people who walk in darkness. He saw that a child was to be born, a son was to be given. And he said his name was to be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Some years ago, I remember I was asked to speak on a verse in Ephesians chapter 3. We might just look at that verse together. Ephesians chapter 3 and reading from verse 8. The Apostle Paul was speaking, talking about the grace of God, and in verse 7 he says, "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." What a wonderful subject to be given to speak on, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I remember going through the New Testament and looking for references to the riches of God. And in Romans chapter 9 we have the riches of His glory. In Romans 11 we read of the depth of the riches of the wisdom of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His ways and His judgments past finding out. And in chapter 2 and verse 4, "Oh, the depth of the riches of His goodness." And in Ephesians 1 and 7, "the riches of His grace." And Ephesians 2 and 4 speaks that He is rich in mercy. And we could go into each of those individually and look at the riches that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. I thought that just for a few moments we might look at some references through the Scriptures, through the Old Testament, to the Lamb of God. There are so many things that we read that speak to us of Christ in all the Scriptures. Let's just turn to Genesis and I've got to get the right reference now. I've lost it. That's 16, I think. Verse 22. Here we have the story of Abraham and Isaac. This morning I was I was sidetracked for a while, but I noticed out of the corner of my eye a couple of the younger children on the floor and playing with one another. And I love little children. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing when God brings a child into our life, isn't it? And I remember I had the privilege of being at the birth of each of our children, and just to see their tiny little fingernails and their little button nails and their eyes and so on. And then to see that little baby grow and see the potential. And it's a tremendous thing to be a father and to have a son. And here, Abraham had waited and waited and waited, and now here was this son, a young man. And I don't know that I could have done what Abraham did. But let's just read part of the story. We know how that God had told Abraham to go and offer his son. Verse 2 of chapter 22, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning." Well, I suppose he didn't get much sleep, or perhaps he did. You and I wouldn't have done. But I wouldn't have been rising up early and racing off to do this task. But he did. "And on the third day," verse 4 tells us, "Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Now, I guess that could mean I will come again to you, but to me it seems that he means we will come again to you. He had great faith, didn't he, in what God would and could do. Verse 6, "Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father, here am I, my father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together." God will provide himself a lamb. And here we have the Lamb of God signified. God will provide a lamb. And so through the Old Testament we see the sacrifices over and over again offered for sin, to cover sin, pointing forward to the one who would come, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. Christ, in all the scriptures, as we read through the Old Testament, we see him, the Lamb of God, who was to be our substitute, our sacrifice, to take our place. And so here Abraham prophesied, God will provide a lamb, and signified the one who was to come. Let's turn now to Exodus chapter 12. Now we have here the Passover. We won't read the whole story. We know it fairly well, how that they were to take a lamb. Verse 3 says that to take a lamb, every man a lamb according to the house, a lamb for each house. We notice that the lamb was never too small for the house, but it may have been too large. And the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus covers all sin. It's sufficient for all. And this lamb was to be without spot and without blemish, a picture of the perfect sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures say, in him was no sin, he did no sin, he knew no sin. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And verse 7 tells us they were to take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, and there they were to eat it. And in verse 13 we read, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And so here we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ typified, a type of the coming Saviour, the one who was to be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And as we see here in Exodus, the picture of the Passover, and the Jews were to continually remember this feast year by year, looking forward to the Saviour who would come, Christ, in the Scriptures. Could we turn now to John chapter 1? Now we could go through so many passages in the Old Testament But I don't want to make it a long message this morning. Just that we realise and understand what a wonderful thing it is that we can behold the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember some years ago, I guess it was when I first came into fellowship, and it's a sad thing, isn't it, that we remember the bad rather than the good. I remember a man standing up in the worship meeting to give a message, and he spent about 10 minutes telling us that those of us who were to take part in the and give ministry after the worship meeting should concentrate on the life of Christ and the teachings of Christ, and that we should uplift Christ. And what I remember is that he didn't do that. He just told us that we should. And it's so easy for us to do that. What a wonderful thing it is, though, for us to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege has been ours this morning to behold him and to bow down and worship him. John 1 and 29. We know how that John the Baptist came as a light. He came to point people to Christ. And he said that himself, I must decrease, he must increase. And verse 29 is the statement that he made. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so we had the Lamb signified, the Lamb typified, and here personified. This man is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And so when he hung there between heaven and earth, he was the one who was being laid upon the altar, and his blood was being shed for your sin and for mine. And one reference in Revelation chapter 5. In chapter 4, the last verse says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And we go on to read of the book and of the elders speaking. And in verse 6, A lamb as it had been slain. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now there are several references to the Lamb here in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And so here we have the Lamb glorified, signified, typified, personified, and glorified. The Lamb of God, right through the Scriptures, teaching concerning Christ. And we could look in so many places and behold him. May that be the desire of our hearts. I've often thought last week we were challenged about what we should do for the Lord Jesus in 1991. And we all have a different nature. My nature is to do. Now, I must admit, I sometimes get a bit upset when my children won't do. They sit around or they won't get on and, you know, something needs doing and I see it and I do it. That's just the way I'm made. But the trouble is, when I should be sitting still, when I should be worshipping the Lord, often my mind is off doing something else because I want to do. And the Lord has taught me more and more the need not just to do, but to be. In Daniel we read a verse that says, The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And so we don't need to put the emphasis so much on what we do, but if the emphasis is on what we are, if we know the Lord, we will be strong and we will want to do for him because of our love for him. And so May that be the desire of our hearts in 1991 to do, but because we know him and we love him and we are and we will want to be and to do for him. May that be an encouragement to us to continue to seek to know him. So often people say, and I must admit that sometimes I feel a little envious of people say how they're getting to know the Lord Jesus better and better, and I think that's the desire of my heart, but I don't feel like it happens very much. But that may that be our desire, that we get to know him more and more. So often, you know, as we meet together as Christians, we talk about the weather, we talk about what's happened during the week, but do we speak of Christ? And during this year, as we've fellowshipped with some people, I can think of a couple of occasions particularly where the whole of the discussion has been about the things of Christ, and it's been so uplifting. And I think, boy, people come and visit me, and it's not always that way. May it be that more and more we seek to know him and to share him and to love him and to live for him.